Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, it seems like a long, long time ago, and I guess it kind of was, but I had graduated from two seminaries and jumped through all the hoops, was approved for ordination, was called by a church, was ordained, and I went to that church. It was a relatively large church in northern Minnesota. Now, I didn't preach the gospel there. I was serving with another pastor, and we took turns. Every Sunday, somebody did the service, the other pastor preached. So I did a lot of preaching there. But at times, it didn't feel like it. Because in short order, when I got there, I found myself trying to resolve factions of the congregation against other factions of the congregation. People against people, groups against groups. I thought, what's going on here? There were people who were upset with the other pastor, people who were upset with my predecessor, with her predecessor. Figured just going to be in a short time before they're upset with me. And that's okay. It probably happened. You know, I did a fair amount of visitation, and even when I'd go to visit somebody, they'd be griping about so-and-so or someone or some group. Never talked about my sermons. That must have been a good thing, right? Anyway, it felt like all I was doing sometimes was running interference. And I mention this because one morning, a woman who had been a member of my call committee came in and was just sitting down, we're talking, and she asked me how I was doing, and I said, I'm doing fine. She said, so what are you doing? And I said, well, it seems like I spent all my time running interference between this group and this group and that person and that person, so on and so forth. She said, I'm not really spending much time doing what you guys called me to do. She nodded. She's a woman my age. She nodded. She looked at me and said, did it ever occur to you that maybe you're not doing what we called you to do, but you're doing what you were sent to do? And I just kind of looked at her and I said, no. Honestly, that hadn't occurred to me. She said, look at your work history. I was a second career pastor, so I had a lot of, you know, I lived a life before I became a pastor. Not to say I don't still live a life, but I had all this work experience, life experience, that a lot of pastors don't have. So people would come in and talk to me. And I thought, well, you know, all the past experience that I had working has really equipped me for this. Listening, asking probing questions, sometimes not doing anything other than listening. And that seemed to go well, but I had never thought of it that way. Yeah, you know, I used to joke that, I used to pray actually, and I joke about it, that I'd pray, use me, send me, change me. I said, you don't want to pray that, because God may just take you up on it and do it. And I was joking about the fact that, yeah, he sent me to Minnesota. But now I was thinking of he, with a capital H. He sent me, not as a joke, unless the joke was on me, but not as a joke, but to make a change or to help make people change in this congregation. Changed my life, really. I never thought about it like that before. Such an obvious thing. But it wasn't to me. You know, I was always thinking about called and being called by this committee, this church, whatever, this group of people. I'm approved for it and all this. It never occurred to me that God would send me. Yeah, I'm going to this church, but I'm going. No, God sent me. I mention this because I realized God had indeed sent me, and I was doing what he sent me to do. Yes, I did preach the gospel. Yes, I did a lot of visitation. But yes, I think Maybe some lives were changed because I was there. Maybe things got a little bit quieter. They seemed to anyway. Now Jesus told his disciples before he ascended, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses. You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Samaria, to the ends of the earth." They were sent. Jesus was sending them. Yes, he had called them, but now he is sending them. And they receive power from the Holy Spirit. Now you have received power from the Holy Spirit too. You may not realize it, you may not have thought of it, but you do. You have power from the Holy Spirit. You were baptized and you received the Holy Spirit in your baptism. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. You have received the Holy Spirit. Jesus charged to his disciples, made them the chief heralds of the good news which he had brought. Jesus, Son of God, anointed with the Holy Spirit by his baptism under John, his disciples anointed with the same Holy Spirit, you anointed with the same Holy Spirit. The good news, the kingdom of God has come near. Repent. Forgiveness of sins preached in Jesus' name to all nations, to all people. The kingdom of God conceived in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. You know, Jesus' first coming, the age to come invaded our present reality. And when he comes again in glory, at the end of the age to come will have superseded this present age, the age that we're in. Now, you and I live in this present age, don't we? But we are not of this present age. We are of the kingdom of God, even though we live here. But we look forward to God coming again. We look forward to the reign of God to come. We're people of God, but we're not in the kingdom of God yet, even though we can see signs of it. Does that make sense to you? Thank you for nodding. We're what we call, and you've heard this before, the already not yet generation. All of us, we're already in the kingdom of God, but we're not in the kingdom of God yet because we're here. Now, the disciples were Christ's witnesses, and they were a light to the Gentiles. We are the Gentiles that they were a light to. We have faith because of what they did, because of what they wrote. Remember what Jesus said? "You have believed because you have touched me, but blessed are those who have not seen me and yet believed." And we have yet believed because of the words of the apostles. We have faith. Not proof, we have faith. We don't need proof. If you need proof, you do not have faith. We live by faith alone. We are saved by faith alone, not by our own works or anything like that. Dear friends, you and I are Christ's witnesses. There's really nothing to discuss, but we're going to discuss it anyway. We are his witnesses. You are his witness, whether you like it or not. This is what you're called to do. This is what he sends you to do. Maybe not to the end of the earth. Maybe it's only in your own neighborhood, with your family, with your friends, with relatives. I don't mean you go in and lecture them and ask them if they're saved or something like that, although you can do that if you want to. But I mean by the acts of love that you perform, acts of service, helping, just being there, a ministry of presence in a time of need. You don't have to do anything heroic. Just be yourself. Be the Christ that is within you. Let the Holy Spirit guide you. When you say something, let the Holy Spirit be your guide. You don't say hurtful things, at least you try not to. You say things that are loving, that are kind, that are gentle. But honestly, you don't have to say anything at all. Just be there. Be a witness. It's your responsibility. You know, like Pastor Scott said last week, it's not the responsibility of the women at the tomb, the young man, the angel who was there. It's not the responsibility of the disciples anymore. It's your responsibility. Not just mine, not just Pastor Scott's, but yours as well. And again, there's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. This is what you are. You're a Christian. You act like a Christian, speaking words of love. You know, unfortunately, we're getting a bad rap, which isn't new. It happens. But you can act against that just by the love that you show in your life. You live the Holy Spirit. Now, we may not be going out in pairs like the disciples who were sent by Jesus. We don't anoint with oil. We don't have the power to heal or cast out demons. Although sometimes, depending on what it is, people are healed by our presence, or the healing begins and we don't even know it. We don't need to wear two tunics. We just go as we are. We don't wear sandals too much anymore. You may not walk with a staff, but you still grow dependent upon God, just like the disciples. We're like the birds of the air, like the lilies of the field. And we trust in God who sends us. We go in Jesus' name, not seeking our glory, but seeking his glory and sharing the glory of the gospel of the risen Christ. We don't need an elaborate support system for every eventuality that we come across. We simply go in faith. And it's in our faith that we share. And that is believable. People see your life, and it makes an impact that you're not even aware is being made. And you might be sitting here thinking, yeah, we've heard all this stuff before, Pastor. Not only from Pastor Scott, but also from the pastors who have come before us. You've heard it from me. 20 years ago, I was preaching this stuff before I was sent to Minnesota. Remember that far back? I do kind of dimly. We were young then. Not sure what happened. Some of you were still kids without kids of your own. At any rate, you have been prepared. You don't have to worry about your theology. Your theology is nothing more, nothing less than we are saved by grace through faith. Faith in the risen Christ. Our sins are forgiven. That's all we have to do. That's all we have to share. Share it in your life. You know, the commission you've been given is sufficient. Go therefore and make disciples of all people, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. That's all you have to do. It sounds easy, and it is easy. And by doing so, you may strengthen somebody's faith. Someone who is wavering, who is shaken for whatever reason. You might even plant a seed of faith to which God gives the growth. Amen.